is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
What's going on, everybody? Today is September 16th, 2021, episode 2 of season 2 of the Sports Fever. I'm Anthony Colasano. Alongside me today is the entire crew. Everyone's here. Everyone's back. Dom DeRosa is with us today. He doesn't have work. He's not at Bronc Vision. He's with us on Google Meets. Sean Johnson and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as...
Googs!
Close enough.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever get it in sync because we're on a video call. It was better when we were back in the Ryder Studios because some of us were in studio, so it was easier to get it in sync.
Should we retire it for now until we...
No.
We can't retire it. It's
iconic. Never go down.
It can't. It's iconic. Some people literally say, like, they'll tell me, like, I'll listen to the show and I'll say Googs. Like, they'll... they'll actually do it. But anyway, a lot happened, you know, this past week. You know, football week one, it came and went. A lot of interesting things happened, a lot of upsets. You know, we all saw our teams, you know, win, mostly lose, as Dobson was the only one that won. We saw some interesting performances as well that we'll get into. And we'll also look ahead to week two as well and give our picks. And also in regards to MLB, you know, we'll talk about, you know, more about the Yankees, you know, Sean Sox and Reds, and Dom, your San Diego Padres. But before we really get into the show, Noah, you, my friend, we were at the big game this past weekend. September 11th, 2021 was the 20th anniversary of the unfortunate events of 9/11 of the Twin Towers. You were at the game commemorating, you know, the event and remembering, you know, everyone that unfortunately passed away. It was the Subway Series. There was a beautiful ceremony. Joe Torre and Bobby Valentine were there throwing out the first pitch. And you got to witness an amazing game in which the Yankees won by 1-8-7. So briefly, tell us about your experience and kind of the atmosphere at Citi Field.
There's no other game or other sporting event I've ever felt that way. Just like it was, I had goosebumps the whole time. May or may not have shed a tear here or there. It was just really poignant and a lot of great moments. The fans, I felt like I was sitting next to Mets fans and like it didn't even matter, you know. It was really cool to see and just to see the players unite and kind of unify under that event that happened. And it was just really cool. I was really impressed with the game, but also the ceremony. It was just such a good moment. And when I first found out that the Yankees would be playing the Mets, I think I talked to you, Anthony, about it, wanting to go to that game just because New York City or, you know, in Queens for that Mets game, Mets Yankees on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 just seemed like such a big event. So it was awesome. It was everything I could have hoped it would be. So.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm glad you went. I was a little jealous. I unfortunately couldn't go. I had other priorities, aka my sister's 24th birthday. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm glad you had fun. I'm glad you enjoyed it. We'll talk about that series and the team a little bit more later in the show. But to get back on track, football, week one, it came and went. Sean, we'll start with your Dallas Cowboys as they were the first team to kick off the season against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And listen, the game didn't disappoint. It was kind of a shootout. Team went back and forth, and you know the Cowboys kept it close, but unfortunately they fell victim to the GOAT. So Sean, what were your thoughts on the game? Even though they lost, you have to feel pretty confident that they were able to kind of stick with it, and this kind of shows promise to the team that, like, you know, you can make some noise this NFL season.
Yeah, you know, the Cowboys actually looked a lot better than I thought they would. A lot of my issues coming into the season were the defense. And yeah, we gave up like 30 or 30 some, I think it was 31 points doesn't matter. But so, you know, they looked a lot better than they did last season, just to start off. And again, against the Super Bowl defending Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they looked actually pretty good. So I was impressed. The defense, you know, they were getting to Tom Brady pretty well. Unfortunately, though, as of yesterday, we did lose DeMarcus Lawrence to a foot fracture.
I did see practice. That.
Yeah, so that is very unfortunate for us. But, you know, we got one of our tougher opponents out of the way earlier in the season. And like I said, we did look very good. And I hate to say it, you know, but I want to say we lost because of the refs. I mean, if any of you guys were watching the game, you definitely saw the ending of it, which was Chris Godwin catching a ball on the sideline where he clearly pushed the defender off of him and made the catch. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not one to complain about the refs a lot, but I mean, when it blows the game like that, it put them in field goal range and they literally kicked a field goal like a play or two after that. I mean, it blew the game for us. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not wanting to complain a lot about stuff like that, but it just needs to get better.
Right. Yeah. And you know, and I've witnessed it too on Sunday watching the game. It's like, I forgot who tackled who, but it was like, it was a quarterback play. And, you know, the lineman went and, you know, sacked the quarterback and he got called a flag. But I'm like, why are we calling a flag when he sacked the quarterback? Like where are you supposed to touch him? Can you not touch him at all? Like if you put a finger on him, is it a flag? Like that has to change, and just kind of the refs need to be better. Just not being, you know, kind of like you stated, Sean, stop being so biased and or clueless in that sense of certain plays, because I feel like they just look away at certain plays because of kind of either the team, player, or situation that's happening. You know, they have to call an unbiased game, and unfortunately, we've witnessed that, you know, over the last couple of years, that just doesn't happen in the NFL, and that the refs, for the most part, are biased in one way or another, which is very unfortunate. But that's how it is. But anyway, you know, but that was that series. Unfortunately, with our picks, no one got that pick right, because we all picked the Cowboys. So
I really did try to pick the Buccaneers, but you guys persuaded me to go for the Cowboys.
So you had to stick to your team.
No, I didn't. Like I said, I'm unbiased. I know when we're going to lose, I know when we're not.
It was only a 2-point game, though, so we weren't that far off.
No, we definitely weren't off.
If there were a blowout, I'd feel horrible about myself. Like I'd add, but like it was a close game, and Sean, you're 100% right. I think they play great. Like I'm having a heart attack. I'm like choking here. Go away from me for a second.
Well, yeah, don't worry, Noah. I got you for a sec. I think it shocked a lot of us, especially Sean over there for sure, as Noah is trying to regain himself. When it comes down to it, I think Dak Prescott was really amazing to see as well. Coming back in week one, just looking so sharp and leading the offense to really big things. CeeDee Lamb, I think, had himself a big game too. Mm-hmm. So I think Prescott was distributing the ball really well. But like you said, the defense, if it was for a stop or two, they would have won. Of course, some plays definitely went the Buccaneers' way, in which, yeah, that was definitely pushing on Chris Godwin late in that game that was not called.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you said, CeeDee Lamb had a great game. Amari Cooper, you know, played pretty well too. Zeke, I think, was the only kind of star offensive player for the Cowboys that really kind of didn't show up. He had 13 rushing attempts for 33 yards. That's kind of not what you expect from Zeke, especially with everyone kind of healthy. You expect him to at least rush for, Sean, you would say, right, 50-plus yards at least.
I also think he didn't really get the ball necessarily enough. Watching the game, I definitely saw that, you know, I think Tony Pollard, who is our backup right now, I think he's very good. He could probably be starting somewhere else, but unfortunately he's our backup and he is seeing the ball a whole lot. You know, he's almost getting like the same amount of reps as Zeke is. So that's definitely taking the ball away from Zeke a little bit, which also sucks because I drafted him in fantasy with the 6th pick first round. So, you know, it's a double whammy for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Cause I remember you said like, oh, Zeke had a pretty good game. Like, oh, did my bet hit? And I look, I'm like, nope. I'm like, thanks. But anyway, that's besides the point. None of my bets hit. I had a terrible Sunday in football.
I only had one bet hit, and it was the Dolphins money line against the Patriots. So.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about my blunder because I was just bad. But anyway, moving on to the next game that we kind of talked about, which is the Colts and Seahawks. And Sean and Noah, you guys picked the Seahawks. I stuck to me being a core fan and sticking with the Colts, and it looked good. But, you know, Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett had that instant chemistry, and Tyler Lockett scored 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards. And really the only scoring came from Zach Pascal from the Colts. No one really did anything else. Michael Pittman Jr. was just a no-show. Taylor did play pretty well, so did Hines. But yeah, I mean, we just kind of just got slaughtered by the Seahawks in a sense without Metcalf really doing much. You know, he was kind of shut down for most of that first half, and he kind of woke up in the second half. But for the most part, like, we couldn't really do much. And I went into that game thinking, okay, we have a shot because of our defense. But when we just kind of got ran over by Seattle, I kind of shook my head. I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a very interesting season for my Colts. So we'll see. But, I mean, look, the Seahawks look great. And if Metcalf gets going, you know, that team's going to be a force to be reckoned with on the offensive side with him, Lockett, and Carson, you know, holding it down, as well as their tight end, too. Forget his name. But he's – I forget his name.
On the
Seahawks.
Seahawks, yeah. I think they have a new tight end.
Yeah, he's good.
Garrett Everett. Yes. Grady Everett. Thanks. Grady Everett.
Yeah, Everett. Yeah, because I think he had a touchdown too that game. So, you know, he's looking pretty well. So, yeah, Wilson's really dishing the ball and getting his guys the rock, which is good to see. But yeah, I mean, look, we just got to look ahead to week two and just, you know, keep moving forward, you know. And then moving on to the next game that kind of shocked everybody, at least in my eyes, because I didn't think this was going to be such a lopsided game, which was the Titans-Cardinals game. Kyler Murray kind of just popped off. 5 touchdowns, 4 passing, 1 rushing. DeAndre Hopkins caught 2 of them. Christian Kirk caught the other 2. You know, and, you know, the Titans just looked like in shambles. Derrick Henry wasn't running the ball. Julio Jones could not get the chemistry going with Ryan Tannehill. And the only real bright spot was A.J. Brown. So I want to pose this question to you guys because, you know, this kind of caught my attention going into Sunday was that they said that Julio Jones didn't practice really at all during preseason with Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, it kind of showed in week one how that not practicing really affected them. So, you know, Dom, I'll hit you with this. You know, do you think Julio not practicing with the team and not practicing with Tannehill, you know, is going to affect their chemistry going forward, not just for them, but for the entire offense this season? Because this is supposed to be a lethal offensive weaponry. And for them to just kind of just go come in flat on week one against the Cardinals is a little concerning.
Yeah, Anthony. First off, I never liked Tannehill as a quarterback with my dad and his family. Being Dolphin fans, they couldn't stand Tannehill. Now they can't stand Tua, basically, at this point. But I think Tannehill is not really that good of a quarterback. Derrick Henry saves that offense for sure, but he got shut down. So that already leaves you down with very limited options. When it comes down to it, yeah, I think that's concerning, the fact that Julio Jones didn't practice. He's injury prone too. This is going to have an effect on the team because I think Tannehill, as lost as he always has been, is going to have trouble choosing his receivers and everything like that. So I believe they also lost Corey Davis, if I'm not mistaken, to the Jets.
Yes.
Yeah. So that one was a big blow to them. I know they have a lot of talent, but I think the beauty about sports is that it can look so good on a roster sheet on paper. But when it's actually being played live, it could be trouble. I mean, look how – I think it can get developing, but look how slow it took for Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, and Odell Beckham to really gel together. It's gotten better, but it's still a little inconsistent.
And Odell's not even back. He's out. He's out this upcoming week.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, to your point to that, it's like when Odell – went out with the ACL tear, that's when the team really hit and kind of started rocking and rolling. So, You know, I mean, I hope it's not the case with the Titans this season, but, you know, I mean, we'll see going into week two. And then the other game that really kind of threw everybody in football and the sports world for a shock was the Packers-Saints game, in which Aaron Rodgers looked like literally a shell of himself. He, you know, it was a blowout. They looked like one of the worst teams in the league. And from what, you know, I know we all have our opinions on Stephen A. Smith, but I will give him this because he made a very good point, is that this was the worst game of his career. And it looked like, to me and to maybe you guys too, that he didn't care at all. He didn't give a shit about what was going on. No, I'll start with you. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers kind of checked out early on in that game, and then that's why kind of the Packers just kind of were just like, eh, oh well, move on.
You know, you never want to question a guy like that who has shown throughout his career how talented he is and how much work he puts in. I will say, JerMichael Finley, who used to play with the Packers, I saw something on First Take where he said he doesn't see the same work ethic in Aaron Rodgers this season. However, the only thing I'll say about that is he has inside information. Like, what inside information does JerMichael Finley have on what's going on with the Packers? Now, you can say that, you know, he didn't show up to camp and was causing issues with the contract and the issues with the organization. And JerMichael Finley also said that Aaron Rodgers is hard to work with and somebody that – or well, not hard to work with, but somebody that doesn't really take blame. But Here's the thing. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers gave up or checked out. I think that the whole team just wasn't prepared, and it starts with him. So and I made a pretty big prediction about the Packers being way better than they were. Not way better than they were, but that the record in the past two seasons I don't think has really meant much, because, look, they haven't really done much when it comes to the playoffs. I mean, they've gotten to NFC championship games, but how much does that really mean if you're not able to get that championship? They've had issues in that game against the Bucks, against the Seahawks, against the Falcons. So I think they've lost like four NFC championship games in the past, like, or since they won the Super Bowl. So I just think that they're going to have these issues throughout the season. But again, I think it's going to benefit them. They're going to have some adversity this season, which I don't really think they had as much of last year. You know, they had that tough loss against the Buccaneers, if I'm not mistaken, 38-10 last season. But I just see that them being, you know, 11-6 or 10-7, remember, because it's a 17-game season, bodes well for them. They're going to have to play in a wild card game, in a divisional game, and just go for it. And I think that is what I'm talking about. But there's other teams that in the NFC, is so wide open. I don't think that the Buccaneers should be favored. I think they, like I was trying to say when I got interrupted by the coughing fit, I think the Cowboys really impressed, but the Buccaneers could have been better. I mean, they made some mistakes and they weren't perfect. So I think the Packers, I don't think there should be much worry with the Packers. They have plenty of time. It's the first game. They play the Lions. Their division stinks. And that's the other thing with the Titans that what Dom was talking about. The Titans' division stinks. I mean, the Jags and Texans are not good. And the problems with the Colts on offense may manifest the whole season. They may be an issue the entire season. Mm-hmm. Titans just need to take time during this regular season to just win enough games, make the playoffs, and go from there. I mean, they had the coaching's there with Mike Vrabel, and then that's, I think, the same kind of thing with the Packers. So,
yeah. No, I think you're right. Yeah, I think with the Titans, it's a matter of them winning their key division games, and then, you know, if you do that, you're in. So,
I mean, if you go 5, they can easily go 5-1 in the 6 division games that they play. The same thing with the Packers. There shouldn't be an issue with those two divisions because they're just not deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you for sure. But anyway, you know, moving on, you know, I'm going to skip over the Sunday night game real quick, because Don, I want to get your take. Raiders, Ravens, you know, Monday Night Football. kind of a big game. There were two telecasts going on. You had the main telecast, and then you had Eli and Peyton doing it on ESPN2. That was kind of fun to see. Kind of cool. I thought it was okay. That's besides the point. But what did you think of kind of that game? And even though they won, what were your thoughts of kind of how the team played and, you know, what you saw both on the offensive side and the defensive side against an opponent that, you know, is going to be – that should be elite this season, minus their running game weakening because of their two unfortunate injuries?
Yeah, well, first off, fantasy-wise, Noah, congratulations on beating me in week one, thanks to Darren Waller and Dylan Carlson doing the job for you. That was a tough loss for me. But at the same time, help me. Darren Waller had himself the biggest game with 10 receptions for 105 yards. Coach John Gruden, as much as I don't support him, said that Darren Waller is the easiest guy he has ever coached because he goes out there and does his thing, especially against his former team in the Baltimore Ravens. So he got a little bit of revenge on his birthday as well. So it was good to see. I thought the Raiders were going to struggle. I thought they were going to get their asses kicked, to be honest with you, and they did not. Now, they almost pulled the Raiders and totally blew that, but it was really interesting. I mean, overtime, they couldn't do anything, but a penalty or two later, it was third and goal, then it's like third and 10 or something like that, and it was just so frustrating. And then next thing you know, Lamar Jackson fumbles, and the Raiders get it done. Zay Jones got himself the touchdown wide open. He could eat a sandwich. That's how open he was. So it was really good to see. I got to say, though, I was impressed with not just Derek Carr. At times, he looked like the Carr that I knew. 435 yards. That's awesome, especially on an opening Monday night football. But I was also impressed with Marcus Mariota. He had one carry for 31 yards. I think he can actually be a contributor for this offense. So if you kind of want to have defenses on their toes, put him in there. You have a great back in Jacobs, so you never know. Kenyon Drake, I think, was an interesting signing, but I guess the more depth does not hurt at all. But yeah, I think that Mariota could be a sneaky move with that one play he gained 30-plus yards on. But yeah, I got to say, they're young. Their offense reminds me of the 2016 vibes. Brian Edwards, Hunter Renfro, really, really outstanding receiver. Just the defense needs some work. You could tell. I could just open my eyes, and I'm like, all right, that guy's going to be open, or Lamar Jackson's going to get running. So, yeah, the defense does need work, and that we've been flipping through defensive coordinators like it's nothing. That's going to be the only thing for the Raiders, besides Max Crosby on defense, for the Raiders to really do something in the next 16 weeks left. You got to improve on the defense. Otherwise than that, the offense has looked great in the same in years past.
Yeah.
Just a shocking win. Wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. And it's all, and listen, you know, it's always good to come out, you know, 1-0, as you were the only team that kind of came out 1-0. I'll go to you. I know last week I kind of bashed on your Jets, you know, but hey, they were playing the Panthers. Sam Darnold, you know, of course, his first game is against his former team, and you kept it close. You know, it was a good game. You know, he played well. Zach Wilson played okay. You know, it was his first game. Yeah, I think he had two passing touchdowns, both of them to Corey Davis. So what were your thoughts on kind of how he looked and kind of how the team looked against a team that I would say is kind of on the same playing field as you guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, they may be a little bit better, but listen, the first half was ugly. He had no protection.
He was scrambling like it was nobody's business.
Yeah, receivers weren't catching balls that were there. But then the second half came and he played good. I mean, you can't be mad about that. I'm not going to get crazy because I know the expectations are what they are. They're not going to be this crazy great team. It's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But as long as we develop him, if we can just protect him and not get him hurt, we don't need this guy getting hurt early or at all this season. Let's keep him healthy. And it's going to be tough because the Jets offensive line, Mekhi Becton went down. So I don't know what's going on with that. I haven't really heard. That was a scary injury. So we'll see. Listen, I'm just going to be positive with the Jets. I can't get too crazy. I watched the game and I was like, okay, it's the Panthers. They made it competitive. I mean, they came back, made it competitive. That's all I can ask them to do. And there's no way you can tell me that they didn't put their effort, all their effort in. You know, they did. No, they did. You know, they drop balls, and that bothers me. But that's going to happen. You know, especially with a young team, a team who's trying to develop, like I've been saying. But Zach Wilson's going to get there. I feel like we're going to start to see more and more games where he's not going to be perfect, but he's going to make some throws that you're going to be like, wow, like this kid has talent. He's got arm strength, and he has the accuracy that we can work with. So I'm good. And one last thing about the Raiders, Dom, Gruden almost screwed things up again, you know, with the field goal thing in overtime.
Yep. That's John Gruden for you.
Second and 9, and he's bringing the field goal unit out. And then they get out there, and he goes, oh, well, I got to bring it back.
Yeah, and then there's a delay of game. You know, I really miss Jack Del Rio. I'll say that to this day.
Because the logic is there. Like, so for a little just background, if there is a mess up with the snap, then they can get another chance at it. But that's on like third down. You know, second down, they should have run another play because I think it was like a 40-something yard field goal. That's not a gimme. So
no. Yeah.
He's clueless. That guy
is.
It's crazy. And
the man is getting paid $10 million a year. Remember that.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget the day that they let Jack Del Rio go. I think it was the same day they said, hey, Gruden, you're in. I looked at my phone. I just shook my head and said, well, this is going to be a long 10 years.
I mean, he's just so stupid sometimes. And he's such a good play caller. And people keep saying that. They're like, he's the best offensive play caller. He's so good. But he just – these mistakes he makes with managing the game, it's mind-boggling.
So. He's cost us numerous amounts of games last season too. So, like – already starting off fresh in week one.
Yeah. All right, but anyway, you know, moving ahead to week two, got a couple games to kind of do for our pick-ems. So first game on the board that I have, NFC East matchup, Giants versus the Washington football team. Now, the Giants didn't look that hot against the Broncos. You know, they looked good early on, and then, of course, Danny Dimes choked again, and, you know, they lost. But, you know, the football team is kind of already down with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, he had a nasty hip injury, and, you know, Heineke is now the starting quarterback. So it kind of makes it an even playing field now with both of them having, like, subpar quarterbacks, but with elite running backs, with the football team having Gibson and the Giants with Barkley, as well as their core wideouts being kind of the same in terms of their playing field. So, you know, Sean, I'll start with you. Since you are a fan of the team within the NFC East, who do you think is going to win this game, the Giants or the football team?
I personally think that the Giants are going to come out on top of this. And I really think that because the Giants had a really bad week one, in my opinion. They did not look great. And I think, you know, Danny Dimes really he's really going to need to start showing himself more, or else the Giants are going to have to move on from him. I mean, like you said, he struggled a little bit. He definitely had a very bad week turnover wise. And this is kind of a, you know, bad routine for him, as he's had this problem throughout his career so far. I think I forgot what the exact ratio is, but his ratio from, you know, I think touchdowns to turnovers is awful. It is not looking that good.
Oh, yeah, it's not good. And it's something that I've also been really keen on with him, in terms of, like, with him and just fans that I know of that, like, look, like, this is the season where if he doesn't figure it out, it's time to let him go. So and that's kind of what it is right now. And he's not doing himself any favors with how bad of a week one he had. And that's why I'm going with the Washington football team, even though, you know, Heineke is, you know, starting for them. I just think they're just a better – I think they're just a little bit better. Even though Gibson and Barkley are kind of the same and their wideouts are the same, I think the defense is really kind of the end game with them. And I feel like the Washington football team has a better defense than the Giants. So That's my edge. That's who I'm giving it to. That's who I think is going to win. You know, Dom, we'll go to you next. Football team or the G-Men?
Who's at home again?
The football team.
Yeah, give me them, baby. I just think I think they're going to be a talented group. I think they're going to win that division unless the Eagles, you know, keep playing like they have been. Then again, it's against Atlanta. So, yeah, give me the football team. I just don't trust the Giants. I think they're streaky. Their offense is just poor. I don't trust Daniel Jones when it comes down to it. If you notice, Saquon has never been the same ever since that injury, really. I just don't think he's that dominant like he was at Penn State. I just think the Giants have a lot of holes to fill. They're going to have a really long season. I think the football team and Taylor Heineke are going to really go off, and they're going to step up big.
All right, Noah.
What was that about them winning the division there, Don?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Mark it. September 16th. Dom said it. Football team wins the division.
He said Washington would win the division?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it's between the Cowboys and the Washington football team.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Like I said, judging off just how the Cowboys looked in the first week against the Buccaneers, I think it's going to be a much different year for the NFC East.
Well, I hope for your sake. I do. Hope for you, Sean.
And Sean, what's so crazy is they lost the game, but I agree with you. That loss, I feel like, not that it didn't mean anything, but the Cowboys should feel pretty good. Like, you had a Thursday night game against one of the better teams in the league, and you came out looking pretty good. So, but in this game, I actually like the Washington football team. The ultimate Giants playbook, especially early on in seasons, is start off the game, maybe have a good drive, maybe score 3 points, or do nothing because you get taken out of field goal territory, and then do absolutely nothing in the middle of the game, and then try to come back ferociously at the end. And I just feel like that's kind of where they are. They just kind of get the sense of urgency at the end of games, and just aren't playing a full 60 minutes. So I like the Washington football team in this game.
No, I like that analogy. Yeah, I think that makes sense, because they're kind of just lackadaisical through the middle, and that urgency comes in, and you know. Sometimes it works, but you know, it's always hard to kind of claw your way back.
Exactly.
Especially in football. It's never easy. But all right, next game, Cowboys Chargers. Sean, I'll go to you to this one. You know, we won't pressure you this time to pick your Cowboys, but you know, they look good in week one, even though they lost. However, you are facing the Chargers, you know, with Justin Herbert, talented quarterback. Already in year two, and he's looking super poised already. But who do you have? Do you have your guys, or are you going with the LA boys?
I absolutely have the Cowboys in this game. Post from last week, you know, the Chargers aren't as strong as a team, I think, necessarily, compared to the Buccaneers, obviously, coming off of the Super Bowl win. But who did the Chargers play last week?
They played the football team. Yes.
Yep. Yeah, they ended up winning that game. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I do think Herbert is a very good quarterback, but I just don't think the Chargers have necessarily the team yet to be really, you know, that good and competitive in the NFL. So I don't know. I think I am going to go with the Cowboys here.
All right. Fair. Dom, who you got?
Man, that's a good one. You know what, Sean? Just to help you out, I'm going to go with the Cowboys too. I understand they're in LA, but it's not like the Chargers have a fan base to have cheering them on on home field. So I think if the Cowboys keep playing like that, I think they got this. I like Herbert. I think it's going to be very tough to stop him no matter what team you are as the opponent. But give me the Cowboys. Give me Dak Prescott and make it rain.
Noah, are you going to make it? Are you going to keep it? Are you going to keep the rain coming? Are you going to?
I was
the sunshine in LA.
You know what? I was really confident. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go Cowboys. I'm going to go against the grain, and everyone's going for the Cowboys. But people are really high on the Chargers this year. I've heard a lot of good things that, you know, they got Derwin James back on the defensive side and Bosa. And I think they're rounding out their team, and they're looking like a young, talented team. I just think they need another year or two to really develop that. So I actually I think it's going to be a good game, but now I kind of want to pick the Chargers just to go against the grain. I really was going to go – I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'm going to go with the Cowboys. Give me the Cowboys.
Okay. All right. No. Final decision, lock it in. No, it's the Cowboys. All right. And then there's me, and I'm going against the grain. I'm going with the Chargers.
Oh. Yeah.
I love Herbert. You know, him and Keenan Allen have a pretty good chemistry. Their running game is, for the most part, strong. I know they kind of got lucky last week with Fitzpatrick going down. It kind of opened the door for them to kind of come back in the game and kind of, you know, take the lead and kind of, I wouldn't say coast, but kind of like have a better shot at winning. This game will be close. Like, this game can go either way, in my opinion. But, you know, I think the Chargers can possibly pull this off, and also their home, so that could kind of bode well for them. Now, moving on, this is going to be an offensive juggernaut game, hopefully. Titans-Seahawks. Seahawks are home. Noah, I'm going to you with this one first. Who do you have in this one?
You know, Seahawks are 1-0, Titans 0-1. You would think, you know, Titans really have something to play for, lost week one and are really motivated. And sometimes I think the Seahawks, they come out a little lackadaisical against certain teams. I still like the Seahawks. I said this last week. The Seahawks early in the season, Russell Wilson, I'll pick them every time because they start off every season so hot, and Russell Wilson becomes that MVP candidate and then tapers off in the middle and end season. But I like the Seahawks. I just feel like their offense will click more, and Tennessee had some issues. Tennessee will be fine because, again, like we talked about, their division stinks. But I like the Seahawks in this game.
All right. I'm going to go with the Titans in this one. I just think that I know I kind of bashed them and kind of say, you know, is this cause for concern with Julio Jones and Tannehill not practicing together, Derrick Henry getting shut down. But the Seahawks defense is not that great. So I do think the running game will be back. I do think Derrick Henry is going to bounce back. You know, Julio Jones and Tannehill, I don't know. I hope they click. One reason, because I have Julio on my fantasy team. So, you know, but I think that I think they could pull it off, and I think that, you know, they could use that week one loss as a wake up call. So that's my reasoning, and I'm going with the Titans. Dom, will go to you next. Titans, Seahawks.
If it was in Tennessee, I'd be going Titans, but I think Seattle, I understand their defense is not good at all. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson is just going to be really sharp. It all comes down to Tannehill for me. The running game will bounce back, but I just don't know if Tannehill can at least catch up to that. And Derrick Henry can only have so many carries for so many yards, but I just think, yeah, over under 70 points combined, gentlemen. I mean, it's going to be crazy. But yeah, I think Seattle's going to take it. Henry's going to have a big game, but Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and I don't know if Chris Carson's back with the Seahawks as the running back, but
he is.
He is. They're going to be too much for Derrick Henry and his legs.
Gotcha. All right. And Sean, what you got?
Yeah, I got to agree with Dom here. I think it's really going to come down to like a big quarterback race here. And I truly think that Russell Wilson is just, you know, eons better than Ryan Tannehill. And like Dom says, I think Tannehill just kind of slows that offensive team down for the Titans, who I think would, you know, be able to take that step to the next level if they had a more, you know, elite level quarterback.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a great point, guys. I feel like Tannehill's more of like a game manager, and they talk about how accurate he is and stuff and how good he is. But I don't think he's got that X factor that a Russell Wilson or a Dak Prescott have.
I agree. Yeah, I think you're right. He doesn't have that kind of – he can't go next level with the next guy that we're actually going to talk about, or the next two guys that are facing each other, Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Chiefs-Ravens. Now, obviously, the Chiefs played the Browns last week, and they were down big early, and obviously, lo and behold, here comes Pat Mahomes and just starts throwing dimes like it's nobody's business and comes back and wins the game like he always does somehow. So next level quarterback, then you got Lamar Jackson, who can just become a running back in the snap of a finger. So Sean, I'll go. I'm going back to you for this one. Chiefs or Ravens?
Now this one's a little interesting. So the Chiefs, you know, they kind of worried me early on in the game last week against the Browns. I think I couldn't tell if it was the Browns just looking good or the Chiefs looking bad. But, you know, obviously the Chiefs ended up, you know, doing their magic. And, you know, Pat Mahomes was just like, oh, Tyreek Hill's probably somewhere over there. And just chucked it up and they were able to come back. But I don't know. I mean, the Ravens kind of disappointed me this week against the Raiders. Obviously, I did bet on the Ravens. Sorry, Dom. But
it's all good.
This is a really tough one. I think I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs is the obvious answer here. I don't know. I think it comes down to the Chiefs' defense. Mm-hmm. If they can step up a little bit more, then I'm 100% on board with the Chiefs.
All right, Dom. Chiefs, Ravens.
Give me the Chiefs. Last year, Mahomes made that Ravens really good defense look like Swiss cheese with holes all in it. So, yeah, I'm going Chiefs. I got Mahomes starting in fantasy week two. Please, please step up. I have a very tough matchup. I don't want to go 0-2. Yeah, you like that? So,
Swiss cheese with holes. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Lamar Jackson, he can't pass. He can run, but how long is he going to be running for? Not so sure. Kansas City all day, every day. Yeah.
All right. And I got the Chiefs too. I mean, just seeing what they can do when they're down is just amazing. And to see them still be able to do that is just absurd. Against the Browns team, that is no longer a team to be laughing at anymore. And there's a team to be taken seriously with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, hopefully Odell Beckham. By week three, we will see. You know, I don't know what's going on with his injury with his leg, but I think that they're maybe being a little bit extra precautious. But I mean, look, the Chiefs are fully healthy and they're rocking and rolling already. So I got them. And then Noah, you'll round it out. Chiefs, Ravens.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs here. The Ravens are so depleted on both sides of the ball. Lost Marcus Peters and offensively of Gus Edwards and all these players that have gone down. So I like the Chiefs. The one thing about the Chiefs that I think we'll start to see be an issue against better defensive teams is that offensive line is a little questionable with the young guys that they added. But with Patrick Mahomes, it's hard to beat. So I see this being like a 2-touchdown or even a 3-score game, because I just think the Chiefs are going to come out and really take it to the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We all picked the Chiefs. So, I mean, look, the Ravens have the work cut out for them. You know, can Lamar do the dual threat again? And can that defense really hold up against this potent offense? Because if they can't, it's going to be tough. But, you know, we got to move on to some baseball. I did have two other games to talk about, but, you know, with time and everything like that, I thought we could kind of skip them. It was Raiders Steelers and I think Bills Dolphins. So, you know,
Steelers and Bills.
Yeah, we can just write those down. Those ones.
Yeah.
I'll let you know that right now.
All right.
We'll add
those later. We can just write those down. But anyway, getting into a quick MLB. You know, we're wrapping up the season, less than 20 days away before the playoffs start. You know, most of our teams are kind of in this playoff hunt where it's not a lock for us to get in, and teams are already starting to clinch. The Giants just clinched, the Dodgers just clinched. So, you know, it's go time for most of our teams. And, you know, Sean, I'll start with you, because now you're kind of, you know, the Red Sox are kind of back in it. They have a wild card spot now. So how are you feeling with them with 2 weeks to go, basically left in the season? You know, do you think you guys can really kind of stay afloat and lock it up going into October?
Number one, I didn't really like that back in it comment, Anthony. I feel like we've kind of, you know, been it, but no, I'm just joking. But yeah, we were outside of the wild card for, I don't know, maybe like a few days, but I feel like we've been kind of one of those teams that have been, you know, drifting in the wild card. You know, we're part of that pack that's all within a game or two of each other. with just about a few weeks left to go. But regardless, I think, you know, I don't want to speak too highly on the Red Sox, but I think we should be okay to at least make the playoffs. We just had a we're having a very big series so far against the Mariners. I know we just won yesterday in extra innings, thank God. Because, you know, the Mariners are also one of those teams that are kind of in the float with everybody. So, you know, to have a big series against one of those teams is always really good. But honestly, I this pitching just needs to get better. That's really all it is for me.
Yeah, I mean, you and me both, with me and Noah's team with the Yankees, you know, we're in a bad funk right now, even though we just won against Baltimore yesterday. And, you know, we're currently in a series with them right now. You know, the Mets series that Noah got to go see on Saturday, lost 2 out of 3 to them. You know, the Blue Jays lost that series. You know, we did have to play a makeup game against the Twins this past Monday, and we won that game. Wasn't easy. We won it off a walk-off 6-5, but, you know, it's a bad funk. And, you know, I think Don forgetting us these stats, you know, 21-8 in August, had that crazy win streak, and now we're 4-8 in September. We still have to play the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and still the Rays. And, you know, we're 6-10 against Boston, and we're 6-10 against Toronto. And Toronto's coming. I mean, they smacked the Orioles 22-6. It was a football score. So that just – that scares the living shit out of me.
Anthony, I have a prediction, and this is not a good prediction for us.
We're not making the playoffs.
We're not making the playoffs. I mean, we got to be realistic. Because
I don't think we are.
People, listen, the Twins game was awesome coming back. The Orioles, the first game of the series, awesome. Let's be real. They're playing the Twins and the Orioles. They stink! These are not good teams. And these Yankees fans come on Twitter and they go, "We're back, baby." Like, what? This team stinks. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. And there's 9 games left. You think, okay, so in the 10 games between the Twins, the Orioles, Rangers, and who's the last team that the Yankees are playing?
The Rays.
No. They have three series.
We play Boston again.
No, but I forget who it is. There are teams under 500 though. Oh, the Indians. It's the Indians.
Yeah.
So those three teams, if you think about it, you have to go 8-2, and then you have to be around even between the 9 games that you have against the Rays, the Blue Jays, and the Red Sox. I just can't see that happening. I think that even Garrett Cole struggles against a lineup like the Blue Jays because they're stacked. They have guys all over the place that can hit. I mean, so I just – and a lot of times the real damage has come from the middle to bottom part of the order for against the Blue Jays. So I just don't see us making the playoffs. I feel – I hate doing this because I'm always so positive. I really want to be positive, but I can't see it. I can't see it the way they're playing. I mean – yeah, I just can't see.
I mean, you're being realistic, and you know, I kind of gotta agree with you. I mean, look, the pitching hasn't been great. You know, we've talked about this a good amount. I've talked to Tommy Franks, who does swing the twig. You know, with Don, you catch that on, you know, every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform. But look, you know, Garrett Cole every other 5 days is kind of the lock where, all right, we know we could definitely win. Other than that, it's kind of like, can we win?
Yeah.
Are we going to lose? It's like, it's not, nothing's for certain after Cole, you know, at that point. And for the most part with his offense, it's really being carried around Judge. Like the last like month and a half, he's been our guy who has either come up with the big hit, the big home run, or the clutch base hit when we needed it. It's been him for the last 2 months, and that's great. But other people have to step up, you know, and I hate that really late on in the season, they already saying, oh, Glaber's moving to second base. Why didn't you do that months ago? Why did you wait?
Because, Anthony, we have an incompetent manager named Aaron Boone Brian Cashman, who tells Aaron Boone what to do. And then Aaron Boone goes in front and goes, oh, well, I think Glaber's pretty good in short. No, he stinks. And he can't even play second. The guy stinks. And 2 years ago, people were like, we will never trade Glaber Torres. He's the franchise. Like, And I'm not saying that I wasn't high on Gleyber, but people get too loyal or they get too crazy about these prospects and these young guys that need to prove themselves first before you just fawn over them. He had a great 2018 and then kind of has fallen off after. But listen, the hitting is just not consistent. The lineup on paper is so awesome, and then they just disappoint every game. And you know what? The bullpen is being just decimated by injury, being overused.
Chad Green can't go one game without giving up a home run. It's like every time he comes out, I'm like, here comes a home run.
And what you might forget, because I was there on 9/11 in Citi Field, he gave up a 2-run homer and gave up the lead. And the Yankees came back from there and then did the same thing the next night. Like, he gave up the home run. So he's just – you're putting him in high-leverage situations. He's the one high-leverage guy that since Loaisiga has gone out. Wandy Peralta actually has been pretty good. Mm-hmm. I've thought he'd been pretty good. Clay Holmes has been a solid addition. I really like his stuff. I mean, some of his pitches, I don't know how anyone can hit it. But it's just – it's not consistent. Aroldis Chapman has been just –
terrible.
Bad. I mean, he's just stinks. I love saying stinks because it's just, oh God, he just stinks. You know, so it's just the team's in a little bit of a mess, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And you know, regardless, there's gotta be a lot of retooling and reshaping going into this offseason. Okay. You know, whatever Cashman decides to do, I don't know what he's gonna do. He'll throw some curveball at us in the offseason. Yeah. So we'll wait and see. But to wrap things up, Dom, your Padres, they're still kind of hanging on. You know, you got some notes here. You know, injuries have been kind of a major issue to your pitching rotation. You guys are also kind of in this bad funk in September like the Yankees are. And, you know, you guys really have been kind of going in a downward direction since the All-Star break based on the stats you're bringing up. You know, you're 21-30 since the All-Star break. So, you know, with the schedule that you guys have left in a really competitive NL West with two teams that already kind of clinched already, basically, you know, how are you feeling going into the last couple of weeks of the regular season?
I'm not surprised. This is the Padres. I'm used to the misery, everybody. Man, Jace Tingler sucks. I mean, he's just like Aaron Boone. He's just like what Joe Girardi was. He was like what Joe Torre was. He overuses the bullpen. Tim Hill can have no limbs and he still goes out there and pitches. This guy is something else. I mean, he talks to the media like they have no clue what they're talking about. And basically, he has no clue what he's talking about. They've been in this funkity funk funk since July. It's been so annoying. And injuries have played that. Darvish has had back and hip issues. Blake Snell had like food poisoning. And it's a shame. He's now back on the 10-day IL after being phenomenal since August 3rd. So all of August and all of September, it's just so frustrating. Yeah, I got some stats all together. The Padres, you know, what's going to get them this year? They didn't compete in the NL West because for that division, their poor performance against teams below 500, mediocre, 40-39 record. That is not going to get it done. They were 8-11 against the Rockies this year. I want to scrape my eyes out. Just unreal. They were swept twice in a row by the Rockies this season. Since the All-Star break, the Padres are 21-30. An interesting stat. Last season, whenever the Padres came up to the plate, I would be shaking in my boots, and I'm a fan of the team. Like, oh, man, how are you going to pitch to him? Now I'm saying, oh, man, it's like Carlos Asuaje and Yonder Solarte is on the team all over again. This team looks like the 2019, and ever since they were established, San Diego Padres, when it comes to their offense and everything like that. 10 games that the Padres have played, 0 runs scored, 0-10 in that matter. Of course, that's going to happen. 16 games, they've only scored 1 run. They are 0-16 in that situation. So already, 26 games, 0-26, which is 1 run or none. 19 games, which is 2 runs, 6-13. 22 games, which I believe is the most, with 3 runs scored. That's the most common for them. 11-11. The pitching has gotten it done in the beginning of the season where the offense couldn't get it going. And then the pitching struggle, the offense started to surge up a little bit. And now we can basically we have to scrape at the bottom of the barrel to get a run or two going. So it's just pathetic. I mean, Dave Easley, our hitting coach, is just a joke. Jace Tingler, our manager, is a joke. You can question, was AJ Preller too aggressive when it came to the offseason, the trade deadline, et cetera? It's just a shame. I think besides Manny, Tatis, and Cronenworth, maybe Nola in consideration offensively, Padres haven't done squat. It's frustrating. I don't think this team's going to make it. I don't want them to make it. AJ Preller is really high on Jace Tingler, which I just want to slap him in the face for that. But if they don't make it, that puts tremendous pressure on the Padres to do something quicker. It's not like they're going to get anywhere. I understand it's the postseason. You never know. But they're not going to get past the Dodgers or Giants at all. It's not happening. They got to play San Francisco one more game in a four-game series. They're on the road against St. Louis, who's hot as fire right now. I mean, really. Mm. Then you're playing San Fran, Atlanta, the Dodgers, and San Francisco. I mean,
that's it. Yeah, that's think about it, that's really tough. You have no kind of wiggle room.
No. Kiss it goodbye. And they put themselves in this mess.
And Dom, like, you know, you make a good point about them. Their offensive abilities should be putting them over. And these the stats you have on the no runs and the one run games is awesome. But remember the, you know, getting rid of Larry Rothschild. Like, you know, me and Anthony know a lot about Rothschild with the Yankees. Now, I agree with you. He probably wasn't the best pitching coach. However, I just feel like they put a small Band-Aid on a massive wound and acted like he was the problem and tried to make him the scapegoat. What are your opinions on that? Like, I thought they handled that really poorly.
Right. I think when it comes down to it, even the manager, Larry Rothschild, had to go. I wasn't a fan of the hiring, really. He's old. Injuries have been an issue for the Yankees right before he left, especially. Padres, same exact thing. When it comes down to it, I think also Jace Tingler takes a lot of the blame for some reason, but not all. I think Preller should also be looked at, but he's going to be the guy that's ignored a lot. But it was pathetic. It really disappointed me with Preller. Now, the trade deadline, especially for pitchers, was way too insane. I mean, you had to give up diamonds for Jose Barrios and et cetera. So it was a little too much. Not getting Max Scherzer, big whoop. Listen, he's a rental for us. It's just a shame. I think that Tingler has made questionable moves as a manager. I say this on my podcast. He should go up to the Padres right before the game. If they're not playing the Dodgers and Giants this season, he should just go in that clubhouse and say, hey, play the Arizona Diamondbacks or play the Colorado Rockies like it's the LA Dodgers and play like you mean it, because that's what they do. They play tough, and then when they go against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have 45 wins, the Padres are 11-8 against them, so it's not that good. I'm not saying for, you know, complete 20-0, 19-0 games, but come on now. You got to get it going. The pitching has been great despite the injuries, really has held its own. Young kids coming up. But the offense has been so much more disappointing in the long run. It really just the Adam Frazier move, too. He's dipped. He's not been doing well in San Diego. But that just created a big clog. And there's questions. Do we re-sign Tommy Pham? And more like it. It's our outfield is so weak compared to, like, L.A. or even San Fran. Renfro, we should have never gotten rid of him. Sean signed him to a lifetime contract extension. He had power. He, of course, has a great arm. That gave our outfield some oomph, him and Franmil Reyes. Now it's skinny Will Myers, Trent Grisham, who Jace Tingler doesn't play every day, and Tommy Pham, who had one little hot streak and has disappeared ever since.
Wow.
Can't forget, too, that the Diamondbacks actually know.
Oh, stop it. I had to bring it up. Tyler Gilbert, how can you forget the name? You know, I'll never forget when we got our no-hitter. I was screaming. I've got to see it live.
You were crying.
Between us. But now everyone can know. Yes, it's great to see history.
Wait, what?
I teared up a little bit.
You cried?
The San Diego kid, man.
That's crazy. I didn't know you cried.
It's funny because one of my bosses at the radio station, he said, I knew you would cry. So I was like, wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
I teared up a little bit because it was, like, unbelievable. I mean, my heart was, like, you know, jumping out of my chest when Solak hit that one shot. Falefa also did, but at the end, yeah, they made history.
Just imagine when they win the World Series, if that.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, it can. I think you know, you made some valid points, and I think they got to shore that up. And I think just, you know, health with really, you know, one of my things that I've also noticed with the Padres, and, you know, we got to kind of wrap it up pretty soon, is that, you know, with Tatis, you know, look, Tatis is going to be in the running for NL MVP. I think he should win it. But the thing that kind of bothers me is that, you know, he's had throughout the season some scary injuries that hasn't really put him out for that long, but could have. And he's 22. And that's already kind of concerning to me, in a sense that, like, if this is happening now, and granted, like, he's young and you could bounce back pretty quickly, like, what's going to happen in a couple years from now when this happens again and he's like in his mid to late 20s?
Yeah.
And then he gets put out even more, because he's kind of the glue. Now, I know Manny Machado is there and he's a great offensive player, but Tatis is the glue to this whole offense, really.
He is.
And so, you know, he can bounce back early now because he's so young, because he's our age. But as he gets older, like, he's got to find a way to kind of, you know, protect himself. Like, I already know he's already done it already with finishing with two hands, because, you know, I remember his father said to him, like, you got to stop doing the one hand thing because you're putting so much stress on your wrist that you're going to you're going to fuck it up. And it looks cool, great, but who cares about that? Do you want to look cool or do you want to be hurt?
Right. You know? Right. Like, and I'm all for that too, the two-handed finish.
Oh yeah, and it still looks great regardless. Like, I could care less if you finish with one hand or two hands. You know,
yeah.
As long as, you know, just stay healthy. That's all that matters. But that's kind of my concern with the Padres, on top of kind of what you also said as well.
Yeah, man. I just want Don Ursula to make those legendary calls yet again, and it's not happening.
Mm-hmm. He can't do it. You know, yeah, he can't. He can't. And they're great, and they always go viral, and it's always kind of fun to see whenever they pop up on Bleacher Report or MLB's Instagram. It's just whenever I see the Padres, I just know he's going off on the main stage.
That's right.
Yes, sir. but with that being said, going off on the main stage, we're going to sign off for this week's edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you for tuning in for this week. If you want to catch up on all our socials, you can on Instagram, the_sports_fever, Twitter, the_sports_fever1, and you can shoot us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. This is going to do it for this week's episode. Be sure to tune in next week, same time, same day, Thursdays at 12 o'clock for a brand new episode. And until then, everybody, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes on every podcasting platform that you can think of.